intestinal stenosis tonight. Our text we find in 2 Corinthians 6. While Paul was absent from the presence of this church, there were a weed garden of naysayers that were circulating in the church, casting aspersions on the apostle's genuineness and his apostolic authority. And of course that was met in a way, sort of a mild-mannered, apologetic, where he begins in the early verses of this chapter, where he speaks about giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses and so forth and so on. And then we follow the narrative down to the 11th verse. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. And ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Let me pray with you as we begin. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It is so precious to us. It's a delight to read, a greater delight to recall to memory, to dwell upon it. It is a joy to see the word when, as the sword of the Spirit is inserted into the life of an individual, to see you go to work in that person's heart. And so we ask, dear Heavenly Father, for us tonight, that we might examine our lives in light of this scripture, and that we might wish the best for our fellow brothers and sisters here at Grace and in our sister churches as well. We desire, dear Heavenly Father, to magnify your name and only your name, to lift up high your name above every name, for thou art worthy of our praise. So guide us, Lord, tonight in our study for Jesus' sake. Amen. There are several key words that we need to define before we get into any exhortation or application. And along the way, as a sidebar with their theme of intestinal stenosis, is dealing with the distress of that ailment. We have several things to recommend along that line as well from companion passages. The first of those key words we find in verse 11 is the word enlarged. Regarding the heart, the enlarged heart, the Greek word there gives the sense of a broad or expansive capacity of the heart, a wideness. And there are certain things, as we shall see, four particularly, that spill out of that kind of a heart. So the first word is enlarged. Key to our understanding there in verse 11 where it is mentioned. Then the next one in the 12th verse is the word straightened. Straightened. Now it's three times used in the verse, but only once or twice recognizable. The other one is inserted and then translated in an odd way. But nevertheless, three times present in the 12th verse. And we get from this word straightened, which is a word that means to hem in or to cramp in. So much so that there is distress or discomfort created. There is an allusion to this word in verse number 12, to the word we understand as stenosis, a medical term. Now, stenosis occurs, it can occur in the spine. Some of us deal with spinal stenosis. It is a progressive ailment where it narrows and narrows and narrows and narrows. And as it does, it begins to clamp off nerves. And of course, you can imagine the discomfort there. Then there is arterial stenosis, where again, you have that same transaction occurring with critical areas in your body. And as it cramps in, it stifles the flow of the oxygen that is carried by the blood to every part of the body. And so there's a number of things that can go bad whenever that gets out of hand. So you have that, and then you have, of course, the intestinal stenosis. And there we would understand the element that this word is straightforward in presenting as a avenue being clogged, a clutter forming, you know, like a plaque-like gathering in a certain area, maybe in a bend of the intestine, where you have not only discomfort, but you have a real problem there. Now, for our purposes, we would refer to spiritual stenosis, a spiritual stenosis. That's our purpose. Now, the third word is in verse number 12. Then it's the word bowels, literally the intestine, literally. Figuratively, it refers to your innards, your spiritual innards, your mental, your emotional, and your spiritual capacities has the link here to the word bowel in the spiritual sense. And so we want to take the intestinal stenosis directly from the words that are here, the word straightened and the word bowels. And when you think about this, the Greek word that is translated bowels, it has, of course, to do with a person's inner affections, and the pity and the sympathy and the mercy that flows out of it. Now, when a person has intestinal stenosis, can I just state the obvious? There is little pity, little mercy, and absent any compassion. When a person is afflicted with spiritual stenosis, his innards, his spiritual innards are all gummed up. He's all hemmed in. You know, when a person gets like that, they become, as we will see next Sunday morning in Sunday school, when a person is all clogged up like that, they tend to be primarily occupied with self. You know, whenever you're sick, you don't want anybody around. I mean, if you're really hurting, you don't want people knocking on your door, coming to visit. You don't want the Jehovah's Witnesses coming there and wanting to sell you a magazine. You don't want the Girl Scouts coming in there and wanting to sell you cookies and stuff. You don't want to hear nobody. If you're really hurting, you just want to sit down, turn everything off and just sit there in misery. It is not true that misery loves company. It is not true. You just want to be isolated. So these three words, key to our understanding of any application and any exhortation that comes out of these particular references. And may I just say that this is a challenge for me and for you and for all them who aren't here. And it would be good somehow to get the transcript of the message into their hands for their own review. But when we think about the inner affections and everything that flows out of it, we see it. We see this in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 78. If you'll just patiently follow me through the garden of God's word, Let me point out the tulips contained here. In Luke 1 and verse number 78. Luke 1 verse 78. To frame it correctly, we read, beginning at verse 76, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." And verse 78. "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." The tender mercy is the same word, two English words, same Greek word translated bowels in 2 Corinthians 6. Referring to the inner divine procession of the day spring. When you think of the decree to send forth a redeemer in the eternal mind of God before the council, in the councils of eternity, before the foundation of the world was laid, there was a divine procession from the compassionate, pitiful nature of God that brought forth your Redeemer, seen here as the day spring from on high, titled elsewhere in the scriptures as the day star. It is in verse 78 that we have an enhancement or a different grasp of the word bowels. And here we just translate it this way, tender mercy. Tender mercy. Now, if there be intestinal stenosis, there will be no tender mercy on display. The party with intestinal stenosis will be incapable of displaying tender mercy. Then we have, if we go back to 2 Corinthians, chapter 7 and verse 15, speaking of Titus and the 7th chapter, the 15th verse, speaking of him, he says, it talks about his inward affection, and his bowels were more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. And so we have from Luke 1:78, tender mercies. In 2 Corinthians 7 verse 15, inward affection. If there be intestinal stenosis, there will not be any capacity on your part or mine to demonstrate this inward affection. Now, inward affection, in my way of looking, is quite a bit different than mere outward affection. You know, the outward affection that the children of God display to each other ought to have its root in the inward affection, for sure. But you know, sometimes the outward affection can be really hokey. You know, and you can sense that. I mean, I think you have the God-given capacity to be able to detect when somebody comes up and they just flutter all around you and they just, oh, how lovely you look and how nice you are. And you're standing back and you're waiting for the shoe to drop, you know, like in the form of the word but, you know. You just have the capacity to be able to detect. I hope you do anyway. But if and when that outward affection is displayed, it ought to have its root in the heart and itself an evidence of a healthy intestine, a healthy bowel. Now, there's also concerning the man Philemon, if you go back into that book there, if you would please, Philemon chapter 1. Philemon 1, and we look again at the seventh verse, and let's frame it. Verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. I would take it that Philemon was not stricken with intestinal stenosis. Verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And so we would just take from this straightforward that saintly bowels are refreshable. And oftentimes all it takes is for one brother, one sister to demonstrate that inward affection, and it incites in the person receiving such the same kind of reaction toward others. It is contagious. It is contagious. And so Philemon was one of those. And then we follow this over to verse 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh what? Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Now even the Apostle Paul there is aware of that in spite of the way God is always using him, that sometimes maybe the tank was empty. I mean, how could it not be sometimes? I mean, if you read through the entire book of 2 Corinthians from chapter to chapter, you will notice there are, especially toward the end of the book, there are little zingers that the Apostle Paul sends or gives to the church in Corinth because of their attitudes. And so he speaks here to Philemon, who must have had this capacity in him to be a joy to others, just by the demonstration of tender mercy, of inward affection. And what was it that he was calling upon Philemon to do if it wasn't toward compassion toward Onesimus, the escaped slave? Receive him forever. Receive him is what the Apostle Paul is begging for Philemon to do. Take him back. And if he owes you anything, I will repay you. And so we have in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, this exhortation. If you would look with me there, Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And the verse is 12. Here's our exhortation for me and for you. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Bowels of mercies, kindness, this all flows out of there, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are all called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now that's a lot of stuff that flows out of the bowels. And if there be a stenosis in your spiritual innards, do you see what is canceled out or obstructed in the course of our living? I suggest that if it is true that there is a narrowing of the bowels of the Christian, that kindness will be in short supply, humility will be evaporating, and gentleness, which is meekness, is going to be absent. Long-suffering, no, the short fuse then replaces that. Forbearing one another, not a chance. Forgiving one another, not going to happen. Rather, there will be a grudge held. rather a grudge. And quarreling, hey, whenever there is a stenosis-like condition in the child of God, there's always going to be the occasion for quarreling. Absent love. And certainly, verse 15, the thing that is not going to rule in your heart is peace. Vengeance is that which rules. Now, practical Christianity is evident therein. If we look at 1 John 3 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 17. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need. And you talk about intestinal stenosis. Shutteth up his bowels. Clogged. Cluttered. He shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? So if there is, where the brother is seen to have a need, and at the time you see the need and you refuse to meet that need, you might well ask, well, where's the love there, brother? Well, there's no capacity for it because the individual is afflicted with a spiritual difficulty, stenosis, a spiritual stenosis. Verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So when you think about this whole deal, Paul said to the church at Corinth, and here's what he tells them. Nobody likes to hear this. You are straightened. That's what he tells them. You're all plugged up. You're straightened. That's what he tells them. You're all hemmed in. You're all hemmed in to yourself. That's what he's telling the Corinthian church. We phrase it a different way. We look at a person, we evaluate the narcissist or the self-centered individual, and we say of them, well, they're just all into themselves. There is a closing of the heart because of the stenosis. It's akin to a cold heart. Now think about that. And let your sanctified spiritual mind run through the scriptures as the Spirit of God brings to your attention, as only the way He can do. And you will find sample after sample after sample where that was true. But the apostle's telling the Corinthian church, he said, you're straightened. You're all into yourself. Now, of course, if the people of Grace Baptist Church, pastor included, is really serious about the plan for ministry, the second part of which is reaching out or reaching in to one another, that's not going to happen if there is a stenosis. If a person is all into themselves, there's not any possibility of them reaching out and embracing those around them. Cold heart. I'm drawn to a portion of scripture in the Gospels referencing when the Lord returns. I'm trying to think how the verse goes. It's going in one side of my ear and out the other side of my ear, and I won't stay long enough for me to latch on to it, but it talks about the occasion when the Lord will return. Will he find the faith? And in that same general area, in that day, the love of many will wax cold. There will be a predominant intestinal stenosis in the church as we move forward and progress toward the last hour before the rapture occurs. He just tells the Corinthians, you're straitened. Now, we come back to that place in 2 Corinthians 6, and he says, you're straitened, but Paul's heart is said to be enlarged from the Greek word platuno. And there are four notions of enlargement that I'd like to share with you. Four things true of a heart that is enlarged. First one is, in platuno, the Greek word conveys or paints this word picture of a wide open, an expanse, a wide openness. A person is embracing. The second thing is that it conveys a warmth. A warmth. A welcoming. And along with it, and who could deny that the Apostle Paul wasn't this way, a winsomeness. Four things that a heart that is enlarged portrays to people who are on the receiving end of it. That heart is wide open. It is warm. It is welcoming. And it is winsome. You know, you can walk up to certain people at different times and you extend your hand, and sometimes the hand doesn't come back in mutual identification. Sometimes you may pass by a person, address them, hello, how you doing? And they blow right by you. And sometimes when you approach people that you would think are glad to see you, or at least ought to be glad to see you, walk up and you got a smile on your face and you stick your hand, hey, how you doing? Haven't seen you for a long time. And they stand there somber. Yes, how are you? It has been a long time since we've seen each other. You know? I mean, that person is not a graduate of Dale Carnegie's course on how to win friends and influence people. But then I wonder how many times I do that to people. And you know when it's likely to occur for me? Is when I'm really in a hurry to do something or get something done. I don't have time to stand around and talk. But then after I do that, I forget, well, you know, God is the God of providence and He orders your steps. And either you made a mistake where you were walking today and just happened to run into this person, or if God put that person in your way. But I don't think of those logical things until after I make a fool of myself. How about you? You get into something like that? You're in a rip to get something done, go somewhere, and you just don't have time to just palaver, as Tonto would say. His affectionate accommodations, speaking of the Apostle Paul, were spacious. While the church family was as narrow as a cramped hallway, his wish for them and his wish for us, he says to them, well, look, you're straitened. Be enlarged. Be enlarged. Our motto is, you see, Grace Baptist Church is a little church with a large heart and a loving Lord. A large heart. And that it is. I believe that. And, you know, when we hammer the Corinthian church, it does really seem that his first letter was effectual. And that brings joy to a messenger. That whenever you send a letter or you give a message and there is some positive response as a result of it. In 2 Corinthians 7, let me just share with you what transpired in the aftermath of Paul's exhortation. In 2 Corinthians 7, and verses 11 through 13. He said, for behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. What clearing of yourselves, what indignation, yea, and what fear, yea, what vehement desire, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was what? Refreshed by you all. And so there is, in this case, as a result of apostolic encouragement and exhortation, a positive response on the part of the people of God. I mean, after all, they were slow to discipline the man in 1 Corinthians 5, even slower to restore him in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In both cases, Paul had to chide them for being slow on the one end and slow on the other end. But at least, at the very least, when they got his words, utterances of God, they responded positively. And so, if you are able to examine your heart and you sense that there is some spiritual stenosis, let me give you three things to deal with that kind of discomfort. First place to visit as we conclude tonight is in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4. Key words to apply in the distress. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4, but in all things, here's the word, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Approving ourselves as ministers of God in distresses, first word. And then we see in the 12th chapter of this same book, the 10th verse. The key word, of course, in this verse is going to be pleasure. Pleasure is something we are exhorted to take for ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And then one final place in Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are mere conquerors through him that loved us. What? More than conquerors. Oh. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Keep in mind something about all these things as it is related to the 28th verse, same chapter. Dealing with the distress of intestinal stenosis. Keep this in mind. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the scriptures. Help us to take it to heart, to apply it, and to keep the way clear. Help us in that for Jesus' sake. Amen.